Good evening, ladies and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chaim Schmidt from the Kosher Scene. You can see our blog at kosherscene.wordpress.com. Our guest this evening is Jacob Bornstein. Mr. Bornstein is a success coach and a powerful motivational speaker. Good evening, Jacob. Good evening, Alec. I'm sorry.
No problem. Good evening.
I apologize. Okay. Alec Bornstein, not Jacob. I apologize. Good evening, Alec. This is embarrassing.
No, sorry. I've been called many things in my day, so Jacob isn't so bad.
Okay. Seriously. You are an award-winning speaker and coach who partners with clients to take a massive action in their lives. Okay? Yeah. What does that mean in plain English?
In plain English, I work with people to figure out the things that they really want in their life, whether it's in their business, emotionally, spiritually, family, even weight loss goals and those kinds of things. I help them figure it out, and I help them make it happen.
Okay. We'll get back to that in a second. In the meantime, I have a second question.
Okay.
You're an award-winning speaker. Can you give us an idea of the type of speech that you would make? For example, let's say that the Jewish organization is calling you, a religious organization. Considering that we're getting close to Passover, give us a short example of something that you would say.
Well, this time of year is a very exciting time of year, Passover and Pesach. Getting into this time and the energies of this time is just very exciting. It's part of what I call motivational Judaism. I think there are a lot of concepts in the Torah and in Judaism that are motivational. If people would really know it and understand it, then it would really help them see their lives in a different light. And I use it even with my secular clients, especially this time of year and the energies that are abound. And just to sort of give an example of this time of year, it's a very famous question. If you look in the Torah, it says that when Abraham was not feeling well, the angels came and visited him. And there's a very famous medrash that says that one of the things that Abraham was doing at that time was he was preparing for Passover, and he had he had the matzah and he had the maror, he had everything that we have at Passover. So the famous question is, how can that be? Why would Abraham have those things? The redemption, the Yetzias Mitzrayim, leaving Egypt, didn't happen for another 400 years. And the answer that we always hear in yeshiva is the fact that our forefathers were great people. So because of their greatness, their greatness led them to keep the mitzvot, to keep the commandments, even before God actually gave them technically to the Jews. But that's sort of a simplistic reading of the situation, of the analysis. According to Rabbi Dr. Akiva Katz, he has amazing insight. He says that what Abraham was doing during that time of year, he wasn't celebrating something that was going to happen 400 years in the future. What he was doing was he was celebrating what Passover means to him during his day. Because that time of year, this time of year that we're going through right now, is a magical time of year. It has certain specific energies. And just to give an example, in September, or during Tishrei time, when we have Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that is a time of a special closeness between us and God. And that time of year, what we do is we tap into that energy. And so the holidays are not there. It's not that the holidays are there, and that's the reason why we're so close to God in Tishrei, during September time. That time of year is a time that is when we're close to God, and therefore we have holidays during that time. And it's the same thing this time of year during Passover. This time of year is a time of year where God literally takes us from whatever level we're on spiritually, and we pass over every other level to get to where it is we want to go. And it's not just spiritually. It's on every level. So if you have financial issues, if you have emotional issues, if you have familial issues, if you reach out to God during this time of year, specifically the energy of this time of year, God will literally pass you over and take you where it is you want to go. And so when we sit down with our families and we celebrate Passover and we eat all these different things, we're not doing it to necessarily commemorate something that happened 2,000 years ago. We're doing it to remember and commemorate our redemption today. Today we have that opportunity. And so if we reach out to God, if we talk to Him, if we ask Him, we say, we have these blocks. There are things that are in our way. God, will you help us? God will take us, and He will take us to that higher spiritual level. And these are the sort of things that I talk about with my clients, especially during this time of year, because, you know, whether you're secular, whether you're Jewish, whether you're religious, whether you're not Jewish, it doesn't matter. God is there for you this time of year. That's the energy of this time of year, and those are the things that we can do now, today, to change our lives.
So you're saying that each time of the year, each season, to use that word, has its own specific energy at which we as humans can do different things in order to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Absolutely, absolutely. And if we can tap into those things, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God will take us to those places depending on the time of year it is.
I can hear that. Sounds very good.
Yeah.
We will get back to this again, but in the meantime, okay. So let's say you get a client who is at a job that is fairly successful but is not completely happy with it. And obviously there is something missing in his life. He comes to you and he says, Alec, what can you do for me? How can you help me? What would you do in a case like that?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily be able to answer that question off the cuff. I would talk to him more. There's more information I would need to know. I want to know.
Obviously.
You know, right. So a lot of it in the beginning is asking the question and getting clear about what's missing. You know, so many times, you know, we get overwhelmed by all these different things that are before us, and until you get in there and start going at piece by piece by piece, can you really understand? It's like when I was younger, and you know, every now and again I had a messy room, and my mom would say to me, you know, all right, Alec, clean your room. But what happened was I would get so overwhelmed because there was such a big mess. So then the mess would just stay there day after day after day, and I would get yelled at day after day after day. That's kind of the way we are. When we have these messes in our lives or stresses, we don't attack them, and we get, you know, more stressed and more fearful. And the way to really attack it was, you know, okay, you get into your room. All right, well, put the socks away. That you can do. So you go to your socks and you put them away, and then you do the shirts, and then you do it piece by piece by piece, and then you can clean up your room. So the messes in our lives, the stresses that we have, it's really finding out what it looks like and then starting to attack it piece by piece by piece. And once you get a little momentum and you move forward, before you know it, you have a clean room and your mom isn't yelling at you anymore, which is nice.
Okay. So in other words, you would, if I understand right what you said, you would try to find out as much as possible about the particular person, and
yeah,
you would work in small ways until you finally would achieve a complete regimen that would take him to be successful in whatever it is that he is truly happy with.
Yeah.
Is that what you're actually saying?
Yes, and as you go through it, there are strategies and techniques. It's not as simplistic as the way I put it. You know, first, you know, a lot of
right,
people
of course,
they don't even know what their room looks like. You know, you have to get very clear about it, and then when you get clear about it, you also have to get very clear about what the end result is. You know, so if you're stressed, it's great that you know that you're stressed. That's a really important part. So once you do that, then you want to know, well, what does not having stress look like, and what are other times? And you tap into other techniques. You can use visualization techniques. There are tons of techniques that I've learned and I've mastered over the years to help my clients work through different things. So depending on the situation, depending on the need, I tailor it to my specific client's problem.
How did you learn this? How did you get this type of experience?
Well, that's an excellent question. You know, to a certain extent, we all have life experiences, and it's really helped us, you know, shape our lives. But in terms of my own specific experience, I've always been curious about what drives people. And you know, how they can help themselves. You know, why do we make the decisions that we make and do the things that we do? And I've read tons of books. I've done tons of research. And then on top of reading tons of books and doing tons of research and talking to people, you know, successful people, well, you know, what are they doing differently, you know, than we're doing? You know, talking to them and figuring it out. I've also gone to tons of seminars as well, but I was certified through a coaching through a coaching university. I went to IPEC Coaching, and it was a year program, and there's a lot of coaching and a lot of tests and all those different things. And after a year, I got my, you know, education. So we all have a degree in life, but I've also got, you know, mastered and I've gone through many coaching techniques and done the research, and I've just applied them through all areas of my life and other people's lives.
Okay. So getting back a little bit to your talk, okay?
Yeah.
And putting it together with this. You mentioned that you talk to even secular people. You talk to them about the particular energies at whatever time of the year it is.
Yeah.
I can understand you're explaining to somebody who is religious that, you know, at this time of the year, the Almighty is closer or the Almighty allows this and so on and so forth. How do you explain that to somebody who is Osborne, who is a secular and not at all religious and in some cases might even be against religion?
That's always been interesting. One of the things that people have enjoyed when working with me is that I am a person of faith, whether they're secular or whether, you know, or they're not even Jewish. Now, I've worked with people who are Catholic and, you know, other forms of Christianity, and they
mm-hmm.
like the fact that I'm a man of faith. It's something that was a draw for them because they feel like when you have a certain faith, when you're grounded in a faith and a religion, you have certain values, and it's true. As a religious Jew, I have certain values that I cherish and are important values and help me with my clients. So it starts with that level. It starts off with the level of an understanding where they know the deal. Like I tell them, I'm not going to get back to you, you know, for 25 hours on Friday and Saturday. You know, please don't be insulted. I'm just a Sabbath observant Jew. People know.
Right.
And once they have that knowledge, they don't mind when I bring that in because what it does is it often adds a spiritual element to the things that we're talking about. And people appreciate that. Especially, there's some people who I know and I've worked with, they're very insistent, you know, they're numbers people. You know, they're not really into the whole spirituality kind of thing. So I don't have an agenda. I don't push it, you know, but when that idea comes up, you know, and it's a time like, for example, if I'm working with someone who's Jewish but not religious, and it is around, you know, Rosh Hashanah time, I say, you want to know what? This is a new year. Maybe you don't celebrate it. Maybe it's not so important to you, but the energy of this time of year is the time where you really look at your life, look at the things you've done, and you can evaluate. So it's always good to reevaluate your New Year's resolution. So I add a little bit of a spiritual piece, and it sort of helps people look back and put things into perspective and look forward and plan for a great year.
Okay. So let's say that somebody comes to you now who is a real estate agent. Okay?
Yeah.
He's very successful. He's made a ton of money. He's a natural born salesman, but there is something about the job that just isn't fulfilling anymore. Now, successful he is. How do you help him find something else where he can be successful? What type of questions would you ask?
So do you mean in terms of finding another career, or you're just saying in general, he or she...
In general. Whether
well,
it's getting the light, the candle relit in the profession that he's been so successful at, or it's whether it's finding something else. How would you go about it? What type of questions would you ask, and how would you make the decision? Yeah, he should continue in this profession, or... No, maybe it's time for him to change.
That is a very interesting question. I've, you know, dealt with people on a certain level. What I've found in general, when people are not feeling fulfilled, when there's something missing for them, they're not growing. There's a certain, there's, you know, as a person, you know, there's There's a famous. There's also, if you look in the Torah, the Mizbeach, the ark that the Kohanim used to go up was a ramp. It wasn't steps. And there are various reasons
right.
that are given why it was a ramp. You know, one of the reasons is, you know, the obvious reason is that for tzniyus, for modesty issues, you know, because if you go up steps, you couldn't, you know, see through
right.
the rope. But another spiritual answer that I heard, which I think is a great answer, is the fact that the ramp signifies life. Life is a ramp. You're either going up or you're going down. You never stop in a ramp. That never happens. It's impossible. On a step, you can stop on a step. You can sit down, you know, have a drink or something. But not when it comes to a ramp. With a ramp, you're either going your way up or you're going on your way down. And often with clients, when they don't feel fulfilled, it's because they're not growing. And to a certain extent, spiritually, they're on their way down. And when you don't grow, and when you contract, you don't feel fulfilled, and then you start feeling claustrophobic. So what's happening, there are a couple of things I would need to talk about with that person. We would have to get clear about what their values are, what's important to them, why they feel like they're not growing. You know, they can either expand on their job. Maybe what they're doing is too safe. They need to take some chances again. They need to risk. They need to get out of their comfort zone a little bit. They need to grow. So I would focus with that person on asking questions and finding out why that person feels like he or she's not growing, and then create ways to grow and work through values, things that that person holds important, so that, you know, he or she can start growing again. And when you grow, you always feel fulfilled. It's just the way it is. You know, really, life is a span. Life is a ramp. And if you're not going up, you're going down. So as long as we can find a way to push that person up that ramp, and that person can, you know, start going up again, then that person will get back in the groove and hopefully start feeling fulfilled.
Okay, I can understand that. Now, how does, again, going back to the question of religion, how does your explanations of a religious subject affect somebody who is secular, somebody who may even be against religion? I understand the different religion. As long as the person is religious, speaking about God always helps. But let me play devil's advocate over here. You have somebody who not only is an unbeliever, but he is vehemently against religion. How would you explain a religious concept to him that could make a difference in his life?
Well, just for clarification, is the person, you know, like an atheist, or is the he doesn't believe in God, or just isn't into religion?
Let's take an extreme case. The person is an atheist. As far as he's concerned, there is no such thing.
Okay, so honestly, you know, when I'm working with clients, it's their agenda. So if they're not into the whole God thing, I wouldn't push it. I wouldn't even go there. It's really about the other person, and it's always about the other person. It's not my goal. I go into every conversation with things to talk about and things to work on. I have a program. I have my own program
right.
that I've developed, and I help people move forward. But what I've found is that 50% of the time, I don't even end up doing it because a person has another issue they want to work on, and it's their agenda, or there's something else they want to grow and, you know, work on, and it's up to them. I'm here for them. If they want to grow, they know themselves better than anyone else does. And if they want to work on something or something's important to them, then I try to talk in their vocabulary. So if I'm talking to an atheist, honestly, you know, unless we're talking about me, which really shouldn't happen and doesn't happen that much, there's no God talk. It's whatever is going to speak to the other person, and that's the most important thing. I'm not trying to be Makarev. I'm not trying to, you know, convert or try to make anyone, you know, more religious or anything. I don't have any of those agendas. I am me, and if I have any insights that can help, I'll put them in there. But it's all up to the client, and I do everything to help the client in a way that will speak to that person.
How do you differ from an analyst, from a psychoanalyst?
That is actually the key question in coaching, because it's an important distinction, and it means all the difference in the world. And it's subtle, but it really means everything. A lot of times when you go to a psychologist or a psychoanalyst, they'll sit you in the room, and you sort, you know, it's a lot of venting. There's a lot of venting. It's sort of, you know, getting it all out there, and, you know,
right.
which is very important. I think venting is something that's supremely important, but it's not always goal oriented. You know, one thing that's very important for me when I'm working with my clients is that I don't want to have a client forever. I want to, you know, I've worked with clients probably the most, you know, a year and a half or so, and then they're on their own. Or sometimes it's, you know, I've even just worked for a client for a month. They had a specific issue. They needed to work on it. We worked on it. We solved it. They were totally happy, and we went on. So I'm not here to have them come to me to keep on paying. You have an issue. You want to work on something. Let's work on it. Let's get it solved, and, you know, hopefully you'll be on your own. So a lot of times it's not about venting. It's about moving. It's about action. It's about setting goals and setting targets and moving you from where you are to where it is you want to go. And a lot of times it's not like that with psychoanalysts. You know, you look back, you talk about what's going on. There's no real, you know, it's kind of like an emotional, you know, release, which is cathartic, but it's not
right. What
I do. They move themselves forward, and together they make real lasting changes in their lives. And that's a big difference, I think, between therapy and coaching. I don't want people coming to me forever. I want them moving forward.
I can hear that. That's very commendable. Now, tell me, do you have any interesting anecdotes about your work?
Well, there is
anything you have to share with the audience?
It was funny. This happened recently. I work a lot of the people I work with. I work with people from all ages, but one of the things that's important is, you know, family and parenting, and really a lot of people, they might be good, you know, business-wise, but they want to work on things with their family, and they don't realize the importance of family and you know, just also the fact that their kids really model their behavior, and the kids will just do the things that they do. And it was funny because recently I was giving a speech at an UFRF, and, you know, mm-hmm. I was up there, and when I get up there, I'm very emotive. People in general, you know, have told me that they enjoy it when I speak, especially on Jewish topics. So I got up there, I'm, you know, getting into it, I'm very emotive, and then all of a sudden I hear in the background, I hear, and then everyone starts laughing. And I didn't know what was going on, but it lasted for like 20, 30 seconds, and then it went away. I figured, you know, maybe someone was yelling in the back. I didn't know exactly what was happening. I continued with my speech. Well, about, you know, 5-10 minutes later, again, and then everyone's laughing, they're cracking up. I have no idea what's going on. But again, there was only 20 seconds or so, so, you know, your life goes on. You know, I try to be a professional and, you know, keep on going with my speech. Well, it happened a third time, and everyone's laughing, and then they start pointing. And I turned around, and again, I was being very emotive, and I turned around, and I see my 18-month-old son, who can't really even speak, up there, you know, looking very serious, moving his fingers up and down, you know, as I was speaking, because that's what his daddy was doing. And it was so funny. Everyone was cracking up because I couldn't, you know, he doesn't know anything, but he sees his dad moving around and being all serious and moving his hands, so he'll take his little fingers and, you know, his pointer fingers and go, rah, 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 rah. So that's what his dad is doing. Because it's just funny, in our lives, we don't understand how much our kids pick up and how important it is for us to be role models for them. And it's a very important topic. Family is, you know, I talk about business. It's so important. And, you know, life and finances and spirituality, these are things that are crucial. I've even helped people, you know, set Chazara goals. You know, they're working on the Gemara, you know, a certain tractate of Talmud, and they want to keep on learning more and learning more and learning more. I've helped them work. I work on all kinds of goals to make with people, but we lose sight of family. And I think for that moment, it, you know, it was something that I really, you know, remember and understand. Even at 18 months old, he doesn't know anything. He's still watching daddy. He still wants to do what daddy does. And we can remember that. You know, we understand our kids are watching, then it can make a great difference in our family lives as well.
Just remember, in a few more years, you may have a competitor in the family.
I hope so. God willing.
It's just a shame. So how do people get in touch with you? How do people find you?
I have a website. My website is Alec Borenstein, ALECBORENSTEIN.com. I also, I have a free report also that I'm offering to the people who are listening to that will really, if anyone has any issues or blocks, I've recently went to the Parnassa Expo in Lakewood, and I gave a workshop, and I gave out this report, and I had a speech that went along with it, and it was very helpful for people if they were trying to make some positive changes in their lives. So for people who are listening, if you'd like to look at the report and have a free consultation with me, it's all free. Just, you know, we'll look at the report, try to find things that are going on in your life. I would love to do that. You can email me at Alec, A-L-E-C, at alecbornstein.com, A-L-E-C-B-O-R-E-N-S-T-E-I-N.com. And I would love to just talk to people, see what's going on in your life, how can I help you, how can I make changes, and especially from a Jewish Yiddish type level, that's what I'm here for. That's what I live for. It's my purpose. Thank God. It's my purpose in life to do that. And I'm also speaking on March 23rd. I'm speaking in West Mountainside, New Jersey. I have a presentation on getting clients now. It's in, with affiliation with the Westfield Chamber of Commerce and Unicom IT Company. And if anyone wants any information or has any questions, again, just email me. I'd love to talk to you and help you and just do anything I can to help you get clear with where it is you want to go and help you get there. That's my work in life, and I love to do it. And I'm here for anyone who is interested.
Well, talking to you, I can hear the enthusiasm in your voice. There is no question that you're very, very passionate about what you do. And I understand how you trained yourself through going to seminars, through reading books. But you did not start out life as a coach.
No.
You started out in a different profession. What made you change from that profession to coaching?
I started out as an attorney, actually. I was an attorney for about 4 or 5 years. I did very well in law school, and I was a pretty successful attorney. And it was interesting. My job basically was to zealously advocate for my clients and get the job done, and that was what I was good for. I got the job done, but the problem was, in getting the job done, I often found that, you know, one person would write a nasty letter to one person, then I would be writing a letter, they write a letter, you know, nasty letters would go back. The idea was to win at all costs. You know, it's always a zero-sum game. I win, you lose, that's it. But it just wasn't for me. It was very hard on me emotionally. It wasn't who I am as a person. I'm about bringing people together, helping people. You know, and I don't want to win at the expense of you. I want us both to win. And there's no greater profession in terms of being a win-win person than coaching and speaking. And I always loved speaking, but in general, that was what drove me. So I realized it got to a point when I just looked around and I saw people who've been doing this for years and who were miserable and were not happy. And I said, this can't be me. This isn't me. This isn't what I want to do. And I worked with coaches myself, and I moved forward from where I was to becoming a full-time coach. And it's just been a magical ride.
Well, listening to you, you do not sound like somebody who has the ruthlessness of a lawyer. You sound like too nice of a guy. So I can hear why you would not have been happy with that profession.
Yes, it was very hard, and you know, every now and again, if a person has an issue, I have to clean up some of the things that I did before. Every time I even see it or even step in the office, I remember what it was like doing it then, and it's just not for me. I know that's not what I want to do, and thank God, God has been very kind to me and helped me along the way, and I'm not there anymore.
Okay. So, do you have any other interesting anecdotes you care to share with the audience?
Well, I don't have an anecdote per se, but I think that something that's very important to keep in mind is, you know, the concept of hashgacha pratis, is the idea that, you know, everything happens for a reason. And it's, you know, as we go through our day, little annoyances happen. You know, the big deal things are bad sometimes. You know, if God forbid someone dies, passes away, or something like that, there's really, you know, you need to more than that. The Torah in general, you know, the rabbis, there's a certain prescription for how to deal with that. So I'm not talking about those gigantic things. I'm talking about day-to-day things. you know, we're tired, we're annoyed, and we don't understand that even in that moment, those things really shape our lives forever. And when I go through my life, I was really, for some reason today, I was really evaluating my life and the things that I've gone through. And I'm actually currently on something known as the 10-day mental diet, where I'm trying to stay as positive as possible for 10 days. And as I go through my day, I notice a little annoyance that someone cuts you off in the lane, or you know, you walked all the way somewhere, but then you have to walk back. I mean, all these little, you stubbed your toe, all these like different things that for some reason it's happening to you. And if you can maintain positive perspective through those things, your day and your life will be completely transformed. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. And as you're going through that plan, try to remember that. And if you can remember that, then your life will be so much more enhanced. And this is that time of year. God wants to hear from you. So if you can connect with him, if you can remember it and try to stay positive throughout the things that are happening, you'll see the design. How many times in your life have you looked back and said, like, you know, that thing I thought was a bad thing was the greatest thing in the world. And it's happening to you right now. So if you can do that and tap into that, then your day, your life will be completely transformed. And this is the best time of year to start that.
Okay, that sounds very, very good. You sound like a very, very interesting guy. And I am sure that you are a tremendous help to your clients. I may just want to have a consultation with you myself.
Anytime you want, I'm here. That's what I'm here for.
Okay. And we're just about out of time. Thank you very, very much to one and all. Thank you to our listeners. Thank you to you, Alec.
Thank you.
And a good evening.
Have a great night. Thank you very much, Simon. I appreciate it.
You too. Thank you. Tune us in next week when our guest will be Levana Kirschenbaum talking about her latest book, The Whole Foods Kosher Kitchen. Until then, good night, and thank you one and all.